Blog Talk Radio.
Dribbles down as more politicians jump into the GOP race and broadcasting from a durable waterproof camo converted garage, camouflaged. All right, so we got some more rain last night, as you know, and I'm just kind of wondering at what point the Hillary campaign is going to be considered on, what do you call it in the hospital? Critical, you know what I'm saying? When is it going to be on life support? And the email issues still keep coming out. But anyway, got some intriguing stories for you today, many of them. I think that the Hillary email thing is probably the big story right now, or the Hillary campaign, should I say. The Hillary, it's kind of gone on and hasn't really been addressed completely. You've got the story in Cincinnati where the guy, the campus cop, shoots the black guy, and they say he would have gotten off except for his camera seemed to indicate that what he had told the inquirers, the people that were looking into this, was not technically correct. And he claimed that he had no choice but to shoot this guy. And in fact, the camera shows that it was just kind of random. And they believe that this MH370, this plane, has finally been found. It's very weird, you know, that they, if they did find it, why there were not more parts kind of hanging around, which gave everybody and a lot of the experts on this stuff gave them the sense that there was no wreck whatsoever, that it was taken to a secure site to be used as a high-tech bomb. So anyway, as you noticed, as you realized, there was some rain last night, and I'm looking at the Doppler picture right now, and we are covered from above Truth or Consequences to well below El Paso with clouds, and the worst of it is down below to the left of El Paso, but it looks like we're going to be in for, I'm going to guess, some more rain, just from the looks of this this picture, this Doppler picture, which is radar, special radar. The 1 hour total. Not real high. I don't think we got a ton of rain like we did the night before. A tenth of an inch in the last hour, and the storm total is over Las Cruces, maybe a third of an inch at the most, maybe last night. But anyway, it is nice to get the rain, and we've had a couple of days of rain, starting off with some pretty heavy rain, of course. And what do you think about this guy, this dentist that people are have gotten mad at because he shot this a lion? My initial reaction was to really, I felt upset. I don't know why. I mean, you know, but there's no reason these days to go. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but there's no reason to trophy hunt. I don't see the glaring need to go and shoot a lion so that you can take your picture with it or stick its head on your wall. That type of thing has fallen out of favor. Now, I'm 100% in favor of hunting in general because it serves a purpose, a couple of which is it's part of how we manage animal herds in the United States. And they say that there are more deer living in North America than there were when the pilgrims and Puritans came here. There are not nearly as many predators. So there's got to be something. And that's basically what they do in these states is they either auction off or just give out animal tags, deer and elk, and you know how this whole thing works. And so there's a part of this, a large part of this animal management that's scientifically derived where they decide how many permits they're going to give out for the year and everything. But that's how they keep the numbers down, and you would have to have that, or you'd have to bring back wolves and bears and in even, you know, some of these urban areas. So there is an incredible number of collisions every year in the United States between cars and deer, and we have them out in this state too. So and looking through your headlines for you, not a real big news day, but I've got a couple of things in my back pocket that I want for you. Seeing what else. All right, so let's take a little break here. You're listening to Kelly O'Connell on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and it is Open Topic Friday, by the way, at 613. Anything that you want to discuss is fair game. Oh, well, I don't have the text line. I think I left that back in my office. So anyway, come back and we'll start picking through these stories and see which one you like. 523-1450, Kelly O'Connell.
Wide eyes, driver's license, took two tries, bought a Roadster secondhand, playing parties with the band, loaded up, off to states, hijinks, tailgates, starter, midsize, family cruising. Now in the garage, something new reminds you of when you were you.
In Iraq, it's so hot there, government has ordered a mandatory four-day holiday.
Wow, temperatures expected to top out at 102 degrees as high pressure breaks in the Middle East.
120 in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. lightning.
This video is sponsored by Travelers Insurance. No matter the weather, we can help you stay prepared.
All right, so I'm looking through some of these stories for you.
So we talk about it all the time, El Nino. But what is El Nino? A lot of people don't know. Well, it's actually very simple. It just has to do with the sea surface temperature for a very specific part of the Pacific Ocean and the Eastern Pacific, close to the equator.
And
when it becomes a little bit above average, that sea surface temperature, that would be an El Nino period. That's what we're in right now. Now, it has a lot of different effects on different parts of the world, but we are forecasting this to continue to rise. I mean, the El Nino, it's already pretty well above average, and we're forecast to get about 2.5 to 3.5 degrees above average as far as that sea surface temperature goes. So what does it mean? I mentioned a lot of different weather in different parts of the world are affected in different ways. But as far as the Atlantic hurricane season goes, the El Nino tends to create unfavorable upper-level winds, meaning you get a quieter Atlantic hurricane season. Now, we've slightly adjusted our hurricane forecast for the year. We're at about 10 total named right now for hurricanes. That's the forecast, not very different from what we had before. Either way, it only takes one.
That's coming through the United States on both sides of the country.
This video is sponsored by Travelers Insurance.
See if I can get that to play. It's I will get it to play, but it's I think I got to reboot it. In the meantime, there is this really fascinating story. Feels like temperatures have reached 160 degrees in Iraq. Speaking of heat wave, check this out.
It's so hot there, government has ordered a mandatory four-day holiday.
Wow, temperatures expected to top out 102 degrees as high pressure breaks in the Middle East.
120.
This is the second heat advisory Iraq's government has issued this month. People are being advised to limit their outdoor activities.
You think the feels like temperature's
it's
bad
here? There.
159 yesterday.
Yeah.
Shopkeepers spraying water on customers to help them cope with the heat. Widespread power outages. Water cuts are complicating the situation.
All right. So their temperature is going to be 102, but it feels like 160. I don't understand that either. But I thought you might find it notable. I don't remember ever when I was living up there, this kind of thing. I'm sure there were naysayers. This is also coming from weather.com. It seems like the ads are longer than the clips, but check this one out.
We've got excessive heat warnings, heat advisories from Medford all the way up into Seattle. And we're also talking drought. We'll show you that in a second. This upper ridge is going to keep temperatures nice and toasty. They will be averaging anywhere from 10 to 20 degrees above average. The temperatures will drop as that ridge weakens and allows the jet stream to come back down a little further south. Meantime today, look at these temperatures. 102 Portland, 111 Medford, 100 in Boise, Seattle 94. Tomorrow, heat continues. 105 in Medford, Spokane 100, 91 in Seattle. And drought. Last week, 0%. This week in Washington State, 32% of the state in extreme drought.
I don't understand going from one week to the next like that. But anyway, so we've got to be dealing pretty well with our own drought. It seems like as time goes by, you can't deny the fact that we're getting out of this drought. Now, they're saying that the heart of the hurricane season is starting here, and they're giving some pictures of the East Coast and the way that these storms are kind of coming. They come up through the Caribbean, of course, and then they head into the Gulf of Mexico and up around the eastern seaboard. And because of El Nino, and El Nino is just warm water on the upper part off the coast of South America that comes up and then affects the weather in the United States. But then the El Nino goes across Mexico and goes in the Gulf of Mexico and then out into the Caribbean. So all of this, all of these storms feed off of temperature. They feed off of heat. So the more warm water that you have on the ocean surface, the more you have to feed these storms. So I guess it could be. I haven't heard anybody say that it's going to be an epic hurricane season yet, but you've got the makings of a lot of storms there. And having lived in Florida, there's just a certain time of the year when you come to expect these puppies to come your way. All right. I've got a couple more stories for you, but let's take a little break here. And 523-1450 to call in. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. And we will be right back.
Here comes that rainy day feeling again.
All right, so for state news, we've got a clip here from Richard Berry, Mayor Albuquerque, saying it might be time to change the New Mexico Constitution because of the issue of violent offenders.
Lots of frequent flyers.
I think you guys are going to get sick of hearing me say this, but I'm going to say it again. We had to catch him again.
So many bizarre and violent crimes in recent months, including that chaotic ride in a stolen SUV captured exclusively by Sky 7. It led to a SWAT standoff and ultimately two repeat offenders back in custody. For police, it is like a broken record. For folks in Albuquerque, it is too, and that includes the man in charge.
Our officers, our men and women, have to go out time and time again, and they have to deal with a repeat violent offender who they just arrested days or sometimes hours ago.
This year, the state Supreme Court put the hammer down on local judges, saying cases were taking way too long to move through the justice system. They told the judges to get the ball rolling and came up with a scorecard of sorts when it comes to setting bonds. The goal, to make sure bonds are set low enough that low-income suspects can afford to pay them.
The Constitution adopted by all the people of New Mexico says you're supposed to be free, not in jail, so that you'll be able to prepare to defend yourself against whatever charge has been brought.
The justices say they're simply following the law of the land written in the state's Constitution. The mayor says if that's the case, it's time to change it.
New Mexico has a constitution that was written over 100 years ago. If there's a provision in there that sets us apart from other states and makes us, you know, a more attractive place to be a career criminal or a violent career criminal, then I think it's worth a look.
Not just city, but state leaders are saying it is time for New Mexicans to take a good long look at the Constitution to give folks in the justice system the tools they need to keep the streets safe. For Target 7.
All right. So, you know, I guess maybe that's more of a problem up in Albuquerque, but have another related story to that, also from Albuquerque, but dealing with the same type of issue. And this one's on rule creates perfect storm for criminals in New Mexico, hundreds of cases dismissed. So anyway, what do you think about the justice system in this state? As compared to, say, Texas, which is, you know, our very close neighbor down there. Let me come back to that, see how quick I can get this thing to play here. But since it's on the... All right, here we go. And this is, these are both from KOAT.
To dismiss.
In the Bernalillo County Courthouse,
I'll grant your motion to dismiss.
This is something you hear a lot.
Dismiss.
Criminal case after criminal case.
Dismiss.
Earlier this year, the state Supreme Court said through the legal system quickly, or they have to be dismissed. More than 300 cases have been dismissed so far.
Do you think that there are some very dangerous people out on the streets who should not be because of this?
There's no question. There is no question that that's what's happening.
Police say Jose Luis Valles is just one example. Court records show he's been in and out of jail for more than a decade. A lot of his charges involve drugs, guns, and burglaries. In January, police arrested him again. But just 1 month later, Valles caught a break. Take a look at his case file. The words dismissed on the rule. That means it didn't move through the courts fast enough, so you guessed it. Those charges were dismissed. Of the 300 cases dismissed in Bernalillo County, DA Kerry Brandenburg explains.
A lot of those cases were dismissed because we didn't have discovery, and we still don't have discovery.
Some of the problems with discovery in the police department not being able to turn over all the evidence they've gathered in a timely fashion is because there is a staffing shortage and because it often takes time to process scientific evidence. So cops and prosecutors can't meet the deadline for a timely trial, so suspects like Jose Valles get right back out on the streets. Valles' freedom didn't last long, though. This month, he was busted yet again for being a felon with a gun.
It's just snowballing and snowballing.
I'll keep you posted on whether the latest case against Valles is dismissed or not, and I'll be watching to see how many more cases are dismissed.
All right, so what comes to mind when I'm seeing that is it possible some of the things that Mark D'Antonio has been criticized for in his cases it's a systemic issue. There's a problem with the justice system. How we're, counting out time for these cases, maybe a overload of cases or whatever, as you were seeing bond rules being too lax or too easy. So anyway, I've got some more local news for you here. We'll be right back to jump on that. It's 633 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, Open Topic Friday, whatever you want to talk about. Give me a call.
They will be falling like rain.
All right, so we do know something more about this individual who was shot down off of Pacacho, or it's on North Valley Drive, I guess. But The individual was Michael Malone, and he was a felon, and they don't supposedly had a gun. They do not know if he's shot, but he had been previously involved in an altercation with his wife, his estranged wife, where they said that he had come up behind her with a gun when she was in the mirror fixing her hair or whatever. He came up with a gun and stuck it into the back of her head, according to her, and pulled the trigger, and there was a click. And she said that the gun didn't go off, but that he had been arrested before on spousal battery. So when the police came to get him in this motel, he jumped out the window, and then he was in this alley between the motel and I think it was a dollar store, and that's where the confrontation happened, and the shooting occurred. So they're looking into it. The person who shot him is, of course, on suspended or on administrative leave, I guess you would say. They're going to do an investigation into what exactly happened. I do have a little bit of forecast for you here from Storm Track Weather down at KVIA. So check this out.
Hello, everyone. I'm Storm Tracker Nicole Gomez. Rain chances continue overnight. Our latest radar model showing us that we still have the potential through 11 o'clock to see those showers through at least 2 o'clock in the morning. Notice the direction of these storms moving towards the west, where by 4 o'clock it looks like we're dry here in El Paso, Las Cruces. The heaviest activity will continue to move towards the west. But in the meantime, overnight we'll keep rain, lightning in the moderate category for our threat tracker. We could still see hail and rain associated with some of these storms. For Friday, slight rain chances into the weekend, but next week, rain chances will go up to 20%. That'll be the case through at least Friday. But our future track rainfall model showing us that through Saturday at 8 o'clock in the evening, we could pick up about 0.14 at the El Paso International Airport. Slight rain chances in Las Cruces, and the strongest activity will be along the area mountains. But our high on Thursday in El Paso, 90 degrees, 83 Las Cruces, 83 TRC, 86 Alamogordo. Temperatures were cooler today, but they will warm up this weekend. We're at 97 on Saturday with those slight rain chances in place for Saturday and Sunday, and our overnight temperatures dropping down to the 70s. Las Cruces look for a high of 96 on Saturday, 97 on Sunday, and a 20% chance for those showers. Don't forget to send us your weather photos. Weather at KVIA.com. Track changes to your forecast by following us on Facebook and Twitter at ABC7 StormTrack. You can also tweet your photos to at CU on the CW. Look for your photos on ABC7 at 9 on the El Paso Las Cruces CW. 76 degrees tomorrow, Ruidoso, 40% chance for showers, 84 TRC, 81 Silver City. We're at 88 Van Horn and 89 Sierra Blanca with slight rain chances in the forecast. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, 10% chance for rain, 96 our high. Temperatures warm up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, with hotter temperatures on Monday. 20% chance for scattered showers. That will be the case through Tuesday with a high of 97. We're at 98 on Wednesday and Thursday with partly cloudy skies. Overnight.
All right, so this story here from the Sun News on the rain. Wednesday was an extremely wet day, and so according to the measure, the rain gauge out at the airport, 1.03 inches, although other places of the city had more. And Dave Dubois, New Mexico State climatologist, said that we've seen these conditions, these El Nino conditions, now for several weeks, and we should get some more of this stuff. Now, it's been 314 days since Las Cruceans experienced rain like last Wednesday when Hurricane Odile came through the city. And some of the weather totals, I think that what I had reported was it was 1.14 inches that they had said that had fallen over the city. And I think that's roughly accurate now. In here it says 1.18, but it depends on where you're at in the city. Now there's this network called Coco Ross Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. Reports that for July, Las Cruces now has have 4 inches, 3.97 inches, making it the city's wettest month since 2010. So far we have 5.1 inches, but listen to this. The Sun News is a member of Coco Raz, and they've measured there 6.89 inches, which is, it's right next to my office as well. So it's kind of interesting how you can have different rain, but fall amounts across the city. But, you know, you see how these storm cells come in. At Leesburg Dam, north of Las Cruces and Radium Springs, 2.2 inches of rain fell. In Oregon, 1.4 inches of rain fell. This is this last Wednesday. Dona Ana got 1.14, the village. So hopefully with this El Nino, we will continue to reap these rain rewards. Here's Du Bois saying El Nino usually impacts southern New Mexico more than northern New Mexico, which makes sense because of the subtropical jet stream. And so anyway, we'll take a little break here and come back and have a little bit a little more state news for you.
The dust, it can really play havoc with your day. Count on ABC7 to track the winds every time they impact the borderland, so you know how to plan your day. Doppler Dave Spielman and ABC7's Storm Track Weather Team.
A secret. Sheriff Kiki Vigil has no problem calling it a secret. Sheriff Kiki, a secret.
All right, I've got a little clip here. Well, I've got a couple of clips here for you. One of which is about a lady who's missing, and I wanted to put
the winds, the dust. It can really play havoc with your day. Count on ABC7 to track the winds every time they impact the borderland, so you know how to plan your day. Doppler Dave Spielman and ABC7's Storm Track Weather Team.
20 miles in 24 hours.
She was missing last week.
Try swimming it. One man set out this morning to do just that. A sumo wrestler turned marathon runner turned long distance swimmer. That's right. A sumo wrestler. What's the deal? Devin Neely.
All right, so...
miles in 24 hours, not too tough.
About this situation, a little bit of help, but check this one out.
I mean, that's intensifying in the southern Arizona wilderness.
More than 100 people are expected to spend the weekend looking for 44-year-old Janet Castrejon. She's been missing since her family went camping near Rustler Park more than a month ago.
ABC 7's Jamie Warren is live with our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom. Jamie?
Janet's father is not waiting around. He's desperate to find his daughter, and that's why he's organizing a big search party this weekend to find her.
It's difficult living without her.
It's been more than a month since Eduardo Castrejon's daughter, Janet, went missing.
If we have to do more, we will.
Desperate for answers, the family has searched Rustler Park almost every weekend. This Saturday, nearly 100 members of the community are expected to join.
There's a lot of people that don't know Janet, that never met her, but they have been sympathizers.
People who have never even met Janet will drive to Arizona this weekend and search for clues.
Obviously, we're not thinking about a search and rescue operation at this stage of the game, but something that we may have missed, somebody that could find a piece of clothing, shoe, or unfortunately, we could be looking also for a grave.
Castejon says recently there was a possible sighting of Janet in Louisiana. Needing answers, the family immediately flew there to review surveillance video.
There, the police were kind enough to show us the entire video, and we found out, sadly, that it was not her.
Castrejon says they'll be combing a 2.5-mile radius of the campsite. He says Rustler Park will waive the entrance fee for searchers.
This would be the greatest failure we could ever have if we find nothing up there. That means that the hope is still alive, that the hope is still alive, that she's still alive.
The search will last until Sunday evening, and the family's offering $20,000 for Janet's safe return.
All right, now I got a little bit of this is a few days old, but I hadn't heard anything about this directly, so I thought you might want to hear it. A little bit of Kiki V. Hill, the sheriff, is upset and expressing his opinion at a county meeting. Check this one out.
Sheriff Kiki Vigil has no problem calling attention to what he says are problems within the Doñana County government.
If a private citizen were to bounce out of mountain checks, they would be prosecuted for check fraud.
That was Sheriff Vigil last Wednesday complaining about the clerical errors that left his department cashing reimbursement checks that didn't clear. Also last week, a jury found Doñana County wrongfully fired an internal affairs investigator. Kim Stewart reported on allegations of ethnic discrimination with animal control and codes enforcement and then got the boot. A jury awarded Stewart $1.2 million. Tonight, Sheriff Vigil says enough is enough. ABC 7's Jamie Warren is live from our New Mexico mobile newsroom. Jamie.
Sheriff Kiki Vigil has made it clear that the lawsuits surrounding Doñana County need to stop.
I and my staff continue to experience significant hostility, indifference, and the creation of obstacles by this department.
Sheriff Kiki Vigil had plenty to say at last week's county commissioners meeting.
Although shocking, the information that's being revealed is entirely consistently with what I and my department have experienced during the course of my first 6 months in office.
Vigil said he sees similarities between the way his department is being treated and the way former Doñana employee Kim Stewart was treated. She was awarded $1.2 million last week after she sued the county for wrongful termination. Today, over the phone, Vigil gave his reaction to the verdict. Vigil says the county has too many lawsuits and it cannot continue at the pace it is going.
HR is broken. Human resources is broken. Well, if they're saying HR is not broken, why did it cost the taxpayers, the county commissioner, $1.2 million?
County Manager Julia Brown says she wasn't surprised by the verdict, but she was disappointed.
Where I think sometimes you have people who are basically looking for a payday.
County Manager Julia Brown tells me a closed session will be held tomorrow to discuss the verdict and any actions moving forward. The county has yet to make an appeal. Live in Las Cruces with our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom, Jamie Warren, ABC 7.
All right, folks. So there, kind of makes you wonder if they're going to appeal it. All right, so New Mexico leaders are calling for a Planned Parenthood investigation. Now, you've got a Planned Parenthood investigation also in the state of Texas and in a couple of other states, a couple of other big states. And so the question is, what is going to be the future of Planned Parenthood? Everybody's probably at this point heard about these very ghastly conversations with the leadership of Planned Parenthood about selling the parts of the fetuses. Now, if you get into a conversation with someone who supports Planned Parenthood, they put all of their stock in the fact that they're not selling the parts, they're giving them away, donating them or whatever, which, I mean, I guess it makes a difference legally, but it seems to me morally, I don't know. I've never gotten my head around the idea that a fetus is not a baby. I think that's it's a euphemism. And as a matter of fact, there was an interview with the guy that was involved in these secret videos, which have actually been stopped from being shown by a judge. So they're stopping them reporting on this, but I've never gotten my head around. You know, think about this. The baby comes out, or the fetus comes out, and it's suddenly a baby, right? It's kind of how abortion kind of trains you to think about this stuff. The fetus inside of the mother, not a baby. It comes out, it is a baby. Hocus pocus, right? So, you know, the question is, at what point does it become a human being? And I really don't think that you can answer that question. The reason that I don't think you can answer it is because I don't think it's a real question. It is not a true question to say there's this fetus inside of this woman and at some point it becomes a baby. Now we've got to figure it out. Now nobody's breaking their back trying to figure it out in the first place, because it's a non-issue. It's a non-question. There is no magic point in which the fetus suddenly becomes a baby. Therefore, and based on all of our laws, I think it's pretty obvious that it's a barbaric and an illegal act. Now, I think that if the people against Planned Parenthood would just make an argument based on economics instead of just moral or religious, they might have more listeners. They might have more supporters. And we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. It's Takashi here speaking.
Good morning, Takashi. Hope you're doing well, staying dry. What's on your mind?
I wanted to call in and agree with you on this point about this Planned Parenthood, man. One important factor a lot of people forget to mention, Planned Parenthood was incepted by a lady by the name of Margaret Sanger.
Uh-huh.
And Margaret Sanger, she had some really controversial opinions about race and people and the unfit and large families, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you're familiar.
I'm very familiar. As a matter of fact, there's been an undeniable connection between Margaret Sanger and the early abortion proponents and eugenics. And eugenics is treating human beings like animals, breeding stock to improve the breeding stock.
Correct. It's almost like, what do you call that, natural selection, but a human form, a human way of doing it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But, Planned Parenthood is definitely something sinister. And I'm really happy that with this new technology and this new smartphone age, you know, with all these videos coming out, a lot of truths and myths have been able to be cleared up.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Okay, thanks for the call, Takashi. Folks, we're running out of time here. I've got some quotes from Margaret Sanger. Here's a few. The most merciful thing the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. We should apply a stern and rigid policy of sterilization and segregation to that grade of population whose progeny is tainted or whose inheritance is such that objectionable traits may be transmitted to the offspring. Here's another one. Give dysgenic groups, people with bad genes in our population, their choice of segregation or compulsory sterilization. Here's another one from Margaret Sanger. Birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race. Here's another one. A woman's duty to look the whole world in the face with a go-to-hell look in the eyes, to speak and act in defiance of convention. And all right, so this is a child of this very bizarre and cruel way of seeing life on Earth, as we have to clean up, we have to get rid of the bad members. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, and we'll be back after the break on the hour to pick it up again. Well, good morning, Kelly here. It is, of course, AM 1450, AM Las Cruces. And we've had a pretty rainy couple of days here, and it's been the rainiest day for years, yesterday. And the local measurement that I have to offer for you is today's rain is 0.33 of an inch. The storm total, which has gone on from yesterday or from Wednesday, 1.47 inches. So, I mean, if you think about this, the yearly total here is under 10 inches. I mean, think about this for a second. The yearly total is something like 9.25, 9.3, something like that. We have in one storm, that's like 20%, almost 25% of the yearly total in one storm. Isn't that incredible? So there could be more. I'm looking at the radar of it right now, so there's a chance for more, but I don't think there's any chance that we can get as much as we have. Now, Takashi called up last hour, 523-1450. He called up last hour to make a comment on abortion. Think that, you know, there's a lot of people in this country that are either they're not religious, they're atheistic, or they're religious, but they're not really persuaded by the idea that God doesn't want anybody to have an abortion. I think that, you know, if you're really trying to persuade people, you kind of, you know, mix up your argument a little bit. Not everybody is going to agree with you simply because you tell them that you've got a moral point that they have to accept. And I think that another way you could go about this is, why has China grown so much economically? Well, they started from nothing. That helps. So that helps with 10% growth every year. But also they've got more people, you know, and if you just said, you know, get set aside for a moment the religious or the moral argument and just say, you know, you're every year, we're letting something like 400,000 people come into the country every year, illegals, stay under the theory that we have to grow, that we need these workers. Well, then where's the argument that we have to get rid of these babies, you know, 1.3 million or whatever babies? That completely destroys that. And you know what? I don't take seriously this idea that anybody has a right to kill a baby, you know, but you've got to, you know, I mean, it's we've talked about this before. This society is pluralistic, meaning there's a lot of different belief systems. In traditional society, there was not freedom of speech. You know, I'll get into that in just a second, but in traditional society, this is the classical society, the city where you lived worshipped a deity, and that deity was in the town. For example, Athens was the city of Athena, although they worshipped all the other groups. But there was no such thing as freedom of speech in the ancient world. Now we have pluralistic societies where people have their own belief systems and are allowed to. Thanks for the call to the Kelly. Sorry about that. If you've got something to say, call in. Get you on the air. Sorry, I missed that. But, you know, in the ancient world, there wasn't really the idea of freedom of speech wasn't really developed yet. And so basically there was on the alternative, there were all kinds of different gods in ancient Rome, but they had a god to be accepted in Rome had to be developed and have a following outside of Rome and then be brought in. The story of Mithras and all of these later cults that were very scandalous coming into Rome is part of that story. But one of the reasons that Christianity was rejected in Rome was that it was not established elsewhere. It was not, or it was not an already established belief system. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Joel Kelly.
Hey, Joel. How's it going?
Good. Kelly, I know these babies are
you know, thrown in trash bags and trash cans and all that, hospitals and so forth. But are these, I was wondering, are these babies taken in the regular truck, trash trucks to the dump with the rest of the trash?
I think that some of them are ground up and put into the sink. I don't know. It probably depends on how far developed they are, but I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to look into that.
Because did you see that that show, Heaven's for Real?
No.
The little boy that went to heaven, he had a sister that he didn't know, you know, because the mother had a miscarriage. And one day she was folding clothes, and he says, I saw my sister. I have a sister. And she said, well, I know that you have a sister, you know, because he had another sister here on earth. And no, he says, I saw my sister in heaven. And she said, you and Dad had a miscarriage. You had another little baby, and that child was already given a soul. They're given a soul the minute they're conceived.
All right. So that the Catholic theology says that the minute an egg unites with the sperm, there's a soul.
Yeah, it's given a soul. Yeah, you already have. It's already given a soul. So that. That child was in heaven. He met his sister in heaven.
Well, you know, I think one of the tragedies of this kind of overactive Supreme Court that we have that takes these social issues and it takes them out of the social arena and it just decides them. It takes all of the ability for individuals and states to deal with the topics. And I think abortion is a classic example. We're no more agreed on abortion now than we were 40 years ago.
Okay, Kelly, that's all I had to say.
Thanks. Hey, let me ask you one thing, Joe. Because I've got a couple of stories on the Catholic Church. If you hear criticism about Pope Francis or Pope Benedict, how does that make you feel?
That makes me feel, I wanted to mention, you know, because you mentioned something yesterday. I don't know if people realize, but when the false pope comes, he's known as a false prophet. I don't know. He's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the son of the devil.
Yeah. Well, there's this story out there, and it's making the rounds that there's a lot of people, of which I think some of them are Catholics, believe that this pope is an Antichrist. What is the Antichrist, or is a Antichrist and Antichrist? What do you think of this pope in general?
Well, I've been, I'm keeping track of him and the things that he's, because we're in those times, and I'm keeping track of the things that I don't like the way he's going along with global warming with Obama.
Yeah.
And I don't like the fact that he doesn't address that Obama is funding abortion.
Yeah.
And things like this. I wish he would speak out on things like this.
And he's also, you know, the Catholic Church has also taken part in helping to move the illegals give them a place to stay and stuff. And so they're getting involved in political issues that are at some point, you know, you can say they're helping to break the law and you could have a big debate over that. But that's, some of the stuff I've got to think that the rank and file Catholics are not happy with. I wonder what percentage of the Catholic laity, the Catholics in mass, would be open to the idea that this pope is not a true pope.
Yeah, the laity in the church itself are not too much aware of that. It's the faithful that are aware of it. The faithful are the ones that have gone to the apparition sites like Medjugorje and other areas where the Blessed Mother has been appearing.
Yeah.
And they know more about stuff like that.
Right. But it's not necessarily upsetting to you to hear any kind of analysis or criticism of the Pope.
Yeah, it's not. It's upsetting, yes, but it's mostly just keeping track of the things he gets involved in that make me wonder, and I... At some point, it's probably going to get so bad that we probably have to break away.
Yeah,
in a way, you know.
That's interesting. That's an interesting idea. That's extraordinary. Thanks, Joe. Stay dry
Thank
out
you.
There. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, I've got something that I've been wanting to talk a little bit about. I've been collecting some stories on that I thought, yeah, it's a Friday, 523-1450, by the way, and I'm going to come back and talk about it. It's related to that. I did a bunch of study, and then I thought, well, you know, I got a lot of Catholic listeners. I don't want people to be thinking that I'm attacking the church, but the stuff with the Pope is so fascinating, I can't not talk about it, you know? We've got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. Rob.
Rob, how you doing?
Okay, you?
Not too bad. What's up?
So I was thinking about Cecil the lion,
yeah.
You know, and from my understanding of the way lion prides work is the females do the hunting and the males do the protecting of the pride, right?
Okay.
And then when they make a gazelle kill or whatever, the males move in and eat, and then everybody else eats.
Sounds fair. Go on.
So what is Cecil doing following a dead antelope or whatever on this guy's car? You see what I'm saying? I'm just questioning.
You're
14
saying,
years old.
You're suggesting that he's been entrapped by the welfare state.
Well, I'm suggesting that probably he wasn't the male alpha lion that everybody was claiming that he was, because number one, he was hunting. Two, where were the other lions? Why weren't they following the dead carcass that the guys were told? You see what I'm saying? I think he was a deposed king, in other words, and
that's
out
extraordinary.
On his own.
Well, in other words, so let's just go kill him.
No, but you know, it's not going to be, you know, they were all lamenting that his children, his male children were going to be killed by other lions and all this. Well, I doubt it, because where were they when he was being hunted, you know?
Well, I mean, I think you're drawing some pretty rash conclusions here. If there's any lionologists out there, I'd love to...
I wouldn't call what I just said rash. I'd say it's rational. Based on what I've learned about lion prides.
Rob, this it's giving me a rash just listening to you.
You know, your face is a rash.
Thank you, Rob. Have a good day. All right, folks. So I've got a little dedication here for Rob, Lion Eyes. Be right back. AM 1450, Kelly O'Connell Show. AM Las Cruces. 523-1450 to call in with your own theories of how the world works.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Trifecta. I'm Bill Whittle. And this week from Ann Althaus, we get some subtle but ultimately fascinating news. It seems that the UK newsreel giant British Pathé has released its entire collection of 85,000 films documenting 100 years of history directly onto YouTube, where they can be seen by anybody. It's a remarkable act of generosity, literally granting the visual history of an entire century, and a pretty interesting century at that, for future generations to view at will. So in this three-part trifecta, we'll take a look at a few of those stories. In part one, we'll start with the small and the obscure. Then in part two, we'll go up to the largest and the grandest. And finally, in our members only part three episode, we'll see if we can gain some insight into our own time. So let's bring in Steve Green and Scott Ott to start with a very obscure, yet I think very significant little story. It's a little needle in the giant British Pathé haystack. Gentlemen, welcome. Now, this one is also to do with the remarkable Ann Althaus, who managed to find it in the middle of 3,500 hours of much larger stories. Now, I've long maintained that the sound of the end of civilization is the snooty, so much more morally advanced and reeking of condescension, toffee-nosed BBC correspondent and their utterly self-loathing progressive hatred of humans in general and Western civilization in particular. Yet here is a clip from the British Pathé Archives that adds a little insight into where some of these influences might have come from. So listen to this British Pathé clip from the voice of one Mrs. Slee.
This is Margaret Slee. President of America's Planned Parenthood Federation maintains that European women should stop having babies for the next 10 years. This is Margaret Slee.
British Pathé clip from the voice of one Mrs. Slee.
This is Margaret Slee. President of America's Planned Parenthood Federation maintains that European women should stop having babies for the next 10 years.
Don't you think such a theory, such a radical theory, is antisocial?
On the contrary. It seems to me that it is more practical and humane.
What about the women who want babies now and in 10 years will not be able to have babies? Rather impractical, don't you think?
Oh, John.
It's a little insight into where some of these influences might have come from. So listen to this British Pathé clip from the voice of one Mrs. Slee.
It's Kelly here, 7:23, and it's been very pleasant with all the rain, although somebody warned me never tell anybody else how pleasant the weather is, if you know what I mean. One person's garbage is another person's gold. Then again, 69 degrees, and I've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yes, good morning, Kelly. This is Sheriff Kiki.
Sheriff Kiki, I really appreciate you calling in. I had put out the bat signal to Sheriff Kiki to call in. I had just played a clip. I think you may have missed it, but you were, Sheriff Kiki, you were really going after the county commission and talking about the bizarre fact that the checks had bounced and to your deputies and also that these continuing spate of lost lawsuits that is robbing the coffers of Donna Anna's wealth. Anyway, we talked off the air for just a minute. You say there's a county commission meeting coming up.
Yes, there's a county commission meeting this afternoon at 1 o'clock to finalize the budget. I can tell you that I have a feeling this budget is full of holes. Last Friday, the county manager issued out a memorandum stating that all positions, civilian positions, will be freeze. There's a freeze on hiring right now.
Right.
And
saw that.
With that in mind, that tells me there's something wrong with the revenues coming in. A couple months ago. The finance director, along with the county managers, they were telling the county commissioners that everything was dandy and right, and they were going to submit the preliminary budget, And my understanding, this is the first time that the finance director and, along with the county manager, Julia Brown, they submitted a preliminary budget without the approval of the county commissioners. This is the first time in 30 years this is what I heard in one of the county commissioners' meetings. So I'm inviting the public to be there.
What time?
So they can ask all kinds of questions.
What time?
And also, along with the lawsuits, we have to put a stop to this. It's just eating up for the taxpayers, I've told repeatedly to the county commissioners and the county manager that their human resources department is broken, continues to be broken, so they need to fix that. The county commissioners, what they need to do is they need to get their act together and make some good decisions for the county. And my understanding, they will also finalize the evaluation for County Manager Brown today in closed session. So I do invite the public to please show up and ask questions.
What time?
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock today. And the thing about it is that last Friday afternoon, I'd say about 3 o'clock or so, the manager's department put out a memorandum. Well, I put up the advertisement, the announcement, to state that, the county commissioners meeting will convene on Tuesday, this past Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Well, questions were asked. They didn't meet the timeline. You know, they didn't meet the timeline. So they rescheduled another meeting called a special meeting to go around, you know, to discuss the same issues. They found out they couldn't do that, so they canceled that and they rescheduled another one for Wednesday. Something happened. They canceled that and they went on to Thursday and then today, Friday. So it's confusing, you know, for one that works at the county government. It's confusing for the county commissioners themselves. And you can imagine how it can be confusing for the public that won't attend this. Are they trying to hide some? That's my question.
Well, I mean, obviously, your position's got to be there trying to hide stuff. Let me ask you this. I didn't really know anything about this bounced checks situation. Could you explain what happened?
Yes. A few weeks ago, some of my deputies went up to Salt Lake City for training and recruitment. I also attend that training and recruitment. Well, on the day right before we left on Sunday, we get these emails from the bank, from Wells Fargo, and that's where county government does business with, that our checks have been returned, and they didn't have any reasons. So, Monday we're scheduled to leave early, and we're on the road, and we're trying to get things corrected. And my understanding that the manager kept pointing the finger at the treasurer's office, and the treasurer's office kept pointing the finger at the county manager. So it's a finger pointing between those two departments. They don't have their act together. And that comes back on the finance director and also on the county manager. So finally, these checks cleared. Yeah. So sounds wrong. You know, I truly believe that this budget that they're going to approve today, the final budget, is full hose. According to the memorandum that came out last week from Julia Brown, the reason they're freezing all these civilian positions is that there are not enough revenues coming in for all these expenditures. You know, if you can get hold of that memorandum, you'll see what I mean.
Well, maybe Ben Rawson can get it for us. But so you're disappointed in the county commission, to say the least.
Yes, you know, I'm sure I am. There are three county commissioners there. They're trying to do the right thing. And I hope they take the bull by the horn and do the right thing.
And if you could talk to Billy Garrett face-to-face, what would your main request or concern be?
You know, my statement to him would be, you need to take the bull by the horn. You need to do the right thing. You've seen this left and right. You've been in there going on 5 years. You've done one term. You've seen all these lawsuits. You need to do the right thing. Please take the county in the right direction.
And, Sheriff, I want to thank you for standing up for the citizens of Dona Ana. I know that there are shortfalls in your budget, and I know you guys are working with equipment that is not state-of-the-art. And I know that you don't have as many deputies as you want. They're not as paid as well as other police personnel in the county and the state. And so, but we do appreciate you standing up. I know it's got to be a real pain in the rear end that while running
I'm really convinced that they're doing this for a cost savings. There's a bottleneck in HR, and as long as they can slow the process and the hiring of deputies at the Sheriff's Department, there will always be a cost savings. So I believe they're trying to balance a budget like that at the backs of the deputies. Now, you know, there's one thing interesting I need to tell you. Without this freezing of all these civilian positions last week, we just found out yesterday that about a couple of months ago, all these administrators got a $5,000 raise.
Wow.
From $95,000 to $100,000.
Holy cow.
So, you know, and these are all these top administrators. You know, they went from $95,000 to
$100,000. Is it, was it a secret raise or what?
I'm not sure, but they gave themselves a raise, and I'm not sure if they did get the approval of the county commission.
That's bizarre.
All these top administrators, you can go into the El Sol, that's a website in, there at the county government, and you can compare the what raises they got, because they were at $95,000 about 2-3 months ago, and now, as of yesterday, they're at 100,000. And then you look at this memorandum, it states, well, you know, there's a shortfall where there's not enough revenues coming in, so we're going to have to freeze some of these positions.
Wow. So there's
questions to be asked.
Definitely there are. I'm going to ask Ben Rawson to call in. And if he's got anything to add. But, Sheriff, I want to thank you for calling in. I got to take a break right now. But thanks for standing up for the citizens of Dona Ana.
No, thank you.
You betcha. We'll get you back on the show real soon. All right. So I've got Billy Garrett's number to his office here if you want to. We'll call him 575, and I do have another call here. 575-525-5808, 525-5808 to call Billy Garrett and share your opinion. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Ben Rawson.
Well,
how are you?
Ben, thanks so much for calling in. I'm great. Were you listening in to the sheriff?
I was. I'm glad he went on.
Yeah.
Kelly, do you need to go to break, or can I talk for a little bit? I'll come back on after the break if that's better.
Yeah, let's take a little quick break, and then hold on just a second. I'll talk to you off the air for just a moment, but we'll go to break, folks, and then come right back. Hold on one second. And, folks, we'll be right back. Hey.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for the text.
You bet, man.
Tell you, I missed the first part. What did I miss that he was talking about before you texted me?
Well, I had called to him to let him know that I was going to play a clip of his, and he missed the call. I guess he was taking a shower, and so when he got out of the shower, he called me back, and I asked him if he wanted to add anything to the topic, and it was that clip of the last meeting where he got up and was talking about this bouncing of the checks and the lawsuits and everything.
Oh, good.
And now, so he was calling people to come to the
budget meeting today at 1 o'clock, hopefully.
Yeah.
Good. Good, good. I figure I'll touch on the same thing. Billy Garrett sent out an email yesterday. You know what? I'm going to just forward this to you real quick, and I'll steal a couple things off. What's your email address again, Kelly?
Hibernian1, Hibernian1 at gmail.com.
Okay. I got it off to you. I can never remember this, your email. But, yeah, we're going to be dealing with the budget today, and we really need people to show up. The chairman's trying to gather all of his Democrat supporters there to support him and help him pass this crazy budget, and hopefully we can make some difference to it.
Yeah, let's definitely.
Sounds
definitely
good.
Do what, but we got to, I don't know, man, it's just depressing to hear these stories over and over again.
Yeah. Sorry.
What's that?
We need to get some new elected officials here. Did I lose you, Kelly?
No, I'm listening.
Oh, I just said we need to get some new elected officials here.
Yeah, man, this is so strange, the way things run around here.
Yeah.
So how's everything going?
It's been good. It's been pretty busy, but it's been good. I actually think we're going to win a little battle here at the budget meeting today. I don't want to talk about it on the air, but we're going to move some money from the transit district.
Well, hey, Ben, Ben, this is all recorded on Blog Talk.
Oh, that's right. I'll just wait. Thank you.
No problem. So, well, anyway, man, a lot of rain, huh?
It is. Hey, do you have a day next week that would work well for me to come in?
You tell me.
Let's pull up my calendar here. What about Thursday?
Sounds great.
7 a.m.?
Sounds wonderful, yeah.
I'll be there.
We're back on the air.
All right.
Well, folks, we've got Ben Rawson, who was kind enough to call in when I texted him, and he was also happened to be listening. Ben, you heard a little bit of Kiki's statements about the state of the county, the holes in the budget, the ridiculous bouncing of the checks to his deputies, the fact that people are getting pay increases, apparently, according to him, maybe even in secret, while the rest of the county is on a hiring freeze. It is so hard to keep up with all this. What's going on?
You know, Kelly, I know the sheriff mentioned it as well, but we've got a budget meeting where we'll be approving or not approving the final budget today at 1 o'clock at the county commission chambers. And I know